unassisted in the second period. High school hockey over the weekend. Smithfield beat Barville 3-2 in overtime. Jacob Hopkins scored the overtime game winner, helping the Sentinels complete their two-goal comeback win over the Broncos. Blackstone Valley defeated Coventry 13-7, the final there. Saturday it was Hendrick and 5, Smithfield nothing. Pontagansett defeated Narrahoe 3-1. Rudy Bovai made 35 saves for the Chieftains. On Saturday they would fall to the Lincoln Lions 4-1, the final there. NASCAR had the cookout clash at Bowman Gray Stadium last night, and Chase Elliott held off Ryan Blaney and Denny Hamlin to take down the season-opening non-points event. Tonight, the Beanpot takes place at the Garden. Round 1 will pit Boston University against Harvard at 5 p.m., followed by Boston College taking on Northeastern. That is your look at sports for In Sports. I'm Lou Mandeville.
Providing experienced, compassionate care when you need it. That describes North Smithfield and Lincoln Urgent Care Centers. Their mission is to make you feel safe and reassured about the nature and severity of minor illnesses like lacerations, sprains, ear and sinus infections, stomach and back discomfort, and more. Both facilities have X-ray and lab facilities on premises. North Smithfield Urgent Care, 594 Great Road, North Smithfield, 768-3400. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 9 to 5. And Lincoln Urgent Care, across from Lincoln Mall, 333-9595. Open weekdays, 9 to 9, Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 5.
We're always here for you, O.N. Radio.
Time now for At the Library with Leslie Page from the Woonsocket Harris Public Library.
Good morning. Our hours are Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We offer self-service photocopying and faxing, and our reference department provides notary services free of charge on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., 2 to 4 p.m., and 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday and Friday, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., and Saturday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. This week, the Children's Department is offering Sensory Exploration Fun on Wednesday, February 5th at 11 a.m. For more information about all children's programs, please call 767-4122. Our teen department holds a tabletop role-playing game every Tuesday from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Anyone age 11 through 18 is welcome. Storytelling through theater is a drop-in workshop for ages 11 through 18 at the library every Thursday from 3 to 4:30 p.m. For more information on all teen programs, please call 767-4132. Tech Tuesday will be held on Tuesday, February 18th at 2 p.m. Learn to use the Libby app to check out ebooks and audiobooks from the library on your mobile devices. Call 767-4124 to register. All of the latest information about programs, services we offer, and how to reach us can be found at our website, woonsocketlibrary.org, or on our Facebook page. If you have any questions or would like more information about anything I've mentioned today, please call us at 769-9044. And we look forward to seeing you at the library.
O.N. Radio.
You like vanilla and I like vanilla. You sarsaparilla and I sarsaparilla. Vanilla, vanilla, or chocolate strawberry. Let's call the whole thing off.
Well, you don't have to call the whole thing off because you're listening to Food First right here on ON Radio. Good morning, everyone, on this Monday morning. My name is Karen Zangari. I'm a registered dietitian and diabetes educator, and I'm here to talk about food, nutrition, and you. As always, this is general nutrition information. Always follow any information or guidelines or instructions that you have received from your own registered dietitian or healthcare team. Well, it's coming up to be March pretty soon, March 2025. We're still in February. And March is an exciting time for registered dietitians because it is National Nutrition Month. Of course, we think every month should be National Nutrition Month with an emphasis on nutrition and healthy eating. But this is an educational campaign that started back in the 1970s. And it was promoted by what was then called the American Dietetic Association. It's now the Academy of Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And the point is to really share with the public nutrition information and tips for eating healthy, tips for being more physically active, how to handle when dining out, latest nutrition information that's out there. And there's a registered dietitian day. Always be kind to your registered dietitian. And then during the month, the Academy has a lot of information that it shares on its website. And the website is called Eat Right, EATRIGHT.org, which is kind of easy to remember. EatRight.org. And there's a lot of educational information for people, a lot of resources. And the theme coming up for this National Nutrition Month is food connects us, which is really true, isn't it? Food is such a big part of our lives, and everything that we do and where it comes from and how we prepare it and sharing it with family and sharing it with friends and trying to nourish ourselves in ways through food and also through others and our social networks as well. So it's a great campaign, and there's a lot of different tips that they share, the Academy shares. And we started talking last week about one of them called 20 Health Tips. So we started talking about the first four or so. The first one, eat breakfast, you know, get your body fueled for the start the day. Number two was about the plate. Make half your plate fruits and vegetables. You know, we talked about the plate method. We've talked about this before, which I love as a visual, and I use it myself. If I'm out, if I'm at a restaurant, if I'm out somewhere, just to help me balance everything. So, you know, we've talked about this, a smaller 9-inch plate, half the plate non-starchy vegetables. Really fill it with a lot of color in there, too. And, you know, because fruits and vegetables can be very colorful. A quarter of the plate lean protein, and then a quarter of the plate your grains. And, you know, have some fruit with it, you know, use small amounts of unsaturated oils, like maybe extra virgin olive oil. And these are ways to kind of get nutrients in that we need. But because we eat food and not nutrients, we do eat nutrients, but you know what I mean? We focus on food, we think about foods, we dietitians think about the nutrients. But if you think of it that way, you know, I got my vegetables, I have my fruit, I have my lean protein, I have my whole grains, you're going to be getting in a lot of nutrients. So kind of focusing on visuals and the plate's so important. And watching portion sizes for a lot of us is important too. You know, also waiting, say, 20 minutes after eating before having seconds. A lot of the time that really helps people with their portions, because it can happen that if you're really hungry and you eat quickly, that the body hasn't had time to really process what you've been eating and let your brain know that you're, and your body know that you're feeling good, that you've had enough to eat. Instead, you might still be feeling hungry. And there's some of us who eat really quickly and then might go for seconds and then maybe 20 minutes later feel the effects of eating too much and, you know, feeling kind of bloated and stuff, to like, oh, I eat too much. So along with thinking of the plate method, as we were talking about, as a way to balance meals and watch portions, also maybe choosing smaller amounts, using a smaller plate, and then waiting a good 20 minutes before going for seconds, because you might feel during that time that, yeah, I feel good. I mean, it's happened to me. I was somewhere, I think it was at a conference, and I was getting really hungry, but I couldn't get up and leave. And when I went out to eat, I was really hungry, and I wanted just to, like, keep eating. I was so hungry, and I ate maybe a little more quickly than I normally would. But I had to remember, oh, no, you're going to feel good in about 20 minutes. Don't pile it on. Don't eat too much food. And sure enough, about 20 minutes later, I felt fine. I was like, oh yeah, that was a good amount. So these are just some things to kind of help us nourish our bodies and to feel good. That's the big thing. And then being active. We had talked a little bit about this, and we do live quite a sedentary life. If you think about, compared to 100, 150 years ago, where people were walking, biking, taking, you know, buses, 150 years ago, I don't know if there were buses around then, but you know what I mean. They were just out in the fields working and walking up and down stairs, and Like we try to get our steps in and try to walk, like the guidelines are to try to accumulate 30 minutes of physical activity most days of the week for at least a minimum of 150 minutes. And they do say too, try to make sure you don't have 2 days together that are very sedentary too. And also to try to get up like every 30 minutes, just don't sit more because that's not good for us either. So it's interesting how we need to really search out ways to be physically active because, you know, if we're sitting at our computers all day, we get in our car and drive someplace, it take escalators, elevators, you can see how our physical activity has really, really gone down. So for a lot of us, though, the awareness is out there and choosing what you enjoy to do is key. And also, like we talked about, kind of making an appointment is a way to look at it, as if you're going to a doctor's appointment. I do that myself. I look at the whole week, what the weather's going to be, what my schedule is. Will I be able to walk outside, which I like to do? Or is it going to be, no, it's going to be a trip to the gym because it's going to be cold or icy or raining or something like that. So just kind of having a general idea of how your week's going to be. Plus, just knowing that you can accumulate it over the day. So I try to get out the best I can, like for 10 minutes at lunch too. And you just feel better. You know, it helps with your brain. You get more blood going up there, pumping up there, clears out the cobwebs, get a little more energy when you go back in. So picking what time of the day works for you, what you like to do. If you have equipment at home, that's great. If you can space, if you need to space it out over the day, that's great too. I remember I had one woman telling me, she set a goal, she worked from home, to walk 15 minutes at lunch. That was her goal. And she achieved it. And she actually surpassed it because every time she went out walking, she would do at least a half an hour, sometimes 45 minutes, and she'd be back, you know, before her break was over. She had an hour during the day. And I said, that's really great. What do you think? Do you want to set your goal to be like 30 minutes? And she said, no, I think if I think 15 minutes, I'll go do it. If I think it's too much, I might not do. And I thought, that's a great idea. You know, we all know ourselves. And so that's the key, knowing yourself and what works for you. So then another tip is really getting to know food labels. And the food labels, knowing how to read those, it's a great tool because it's going to tell you what's in the food that you're eating and the beverages that you're drinking, which is what we all do need to know. So when you're looking at a food label, just kind of imagine you're looking at something. It starts with nutrition facts in big bold letters, and then it tells you how many servings are in the container. Because a lot of people might be thinking that the information on the label is what's in the whole thing. So it's good to know that all of the nutrition information is based on a specific serving size that's in there. So the top, it says how many servings are in the container to kind of help you eyeball it. But it says there's 4 servings in this container. Oh, you're not eating 100 calories. You're eating 400 calories. You know what I mean? So it's like all dependent on the portion size, if I did my math right. So again, if a serving size is 1 cup and it says 100 calories and there's 4 servings and you eat the whole thing, you've just had the 400 calories. So if you're looking at the serving size, sometimes people think that it's a suggested serving, which it isn't. It's just a serving size that the manufacturers choose, as in, if you eat this much of this food, like a cup, 2/3 of a cup, half a cup, 10 crackers, whatever the food is, all they're saying is, if you eat this much, this is what you're going to get. For calories and fat and carbohydrate and sodium and so on. So looking at it really helps because you'll have the serving size, underneath that, the amount per serving. How many calories are in that portion size? It'll tell you the calories. Then it will tell you the total fat so that you're going down the list, how many grams. Under that, they break down the kind of fat to the bad saturated fat. How much saturated fat is in this food? That's something that's we're trying to really help people decrease. Trans fat is listed on there too. There's been an effort to remove trans fat from the food supply because it's not good for heart health at all. And you would find that in anything that was partially hydrogenated, partially hardened up fats. And so now that should always hopefully be zero, you know, if you're looking at any foods. Cholesterol is listed, sodium for people watching sodium, total carbohydrate for people who are watching, say, if they have diabetes or for other reasons. And then underneath the total carbohydrate, there's information on the kind of carbohydrate it is. So it will say how much fiber is in it. It's good to choose foods with fiber in it. Again, depending on your personal situation, there are some people who have medical issues where they might have to cut down on fiber, and that too will give you information. So this will let you know how much fiber is in the food, how much total sugar is in the food. Now, some foods naturally have sugar in them, like milk and yogurt. They have lactose in them. That's a milk sugar. So 8 ounces of milk, say skim or 1% or non-fat, would have about 12 grams of sugar just naturally in it. But there's another part. They take the total sugar and they break it down into the added sugar. How much sugar is being added to this food? Because we know like fruits naturally have sugar in it, milk, like I was saying, and yogurts naturally have some sugar in the milk product itself. Although sometimes you'll find some that have less, a little bit less carbohydrate in it. So the added sugar, you want to look at that and see how many grams of added sugar, because there's a lot of sugar that's being added to our foods if you start looking at the food label. So if the foods that you're eating, you want to check it out and just kind of see, is there a lot of added sugar in this food? Is this something, you know, maybe I could find something with less sugar in it added to it. And then under that is protein. So it'll tell you how many grams of protein are in that particular serving size. And then they do list vitamins and minerals. So we tend to be low in as a population. So vitamin D is listed, calcium is listed, iron is listed, potassium is listed, so that we can have an idea of how much it is that we're taking in. So getting to know the food labels, it's always interesting to look and see how much, what are they adding to these foods? Is there a lot of sugar in here? And of course, looking at the ingredient list as well, because the ingredient list starts by whatever there is the most of, and you can just kind of follow along and see. Another tip has to do with fixing healthy snacks to kind of help sustain your energy level between meals. And see if you can choose from like two or more of the My Plate food groups. You know, the My Plate I was talking about, and My Plate dot, you can check that out too. You know, again, to balance the meals with the vegetables and fruits. So some raw vegetables with some hummus, or a tablespoon of nut butter or seed butter with an apple. You know, these are different ways to kind of get a little bit of protein with some produce, vegetables or fruit. And if you need to see a registered dietitian, you can talk with your doctor about a referral. And we also, because a lot of doctors work with registered dietitians, and healthcare providers work with dietitians. And we also have a website that you can go to as well called eatrightri.org. So that's in Rhode Island. So you can look and look up and find a registered dietitian in your area. And it's good sometimes, you know, to talk with a registered dietitian, depending on the issues that are going on, the medical situation, your likes, your preferences, who does the cooking, who does the shopping, and then just kind of putting together a very individualized plan for you. And having something that's individualized for you is something that often helps people make changes. And then also meeting with a dietitian can also help you maintain those changes that you've been making. Also, of course, another big tip for eating right and health tips is watching food safety, being really careful with food. You want to really cut down your chances of getting sick. Make sure you take care of the food. Regular hand washing is so important. Always separating raw foods from ready-to-eat foods, how you're preparing the foods, how you're storing the foods, making sure you're cooking foods to the appropriate temperature, refrigerating foods promptly. We always talk about keep the hot foods really hot and the cold foods really cold. So think about whenever, you know, you're having food, how, you know, the food safety issue is so important for us, so that foods stay the right temperature. There's no cross-contamination from something that might potentially have, like raw meats or poultry contaminated with raw fruits and vegetables. You want to keep that from happening. But there's a lot of information on home food safety at the website for the Academy, eatright.org. A lot of good information there too. Tip number 9 is to drink water, because, you know, trying to drink water instead of drinks with added sugar. People are drinking a lot of sugary drinks. Really rethink your drink. I know that's another logo I've heard, but I like to use that too, because we don't think about the calories that can be coming in our drinks. There are some coffee drinks I know some people have. They get coffee, but then they'll have a lot of sugar in it, or maybe syrup, and maybe cream on top of that. And that the calories just really go high, and so it can be easy to slip a lot of extra calories into you without really paying attention, because it's coming from a drink. So, you know, make sure that, you know, you cut down drinks with added sugar or sugary drinks, and maybe focus on water. And number 10, get cooking. If you're able to, preparing the foods at home are really going to help you control what's added to it as far as fats and what kind of fats, and if you're adding salt or sugar or anything like that. It's also cost effective too. So even just having a couple of basic menus that you use, that, you know, that you're kind of comfortable with is a good way to kind of get started. And I always recommend that people have frozen vegetables on hand just in case they need it, because it's quick and easy. It's already prepared. You've already got them all picked at ripeness. And then they're just, you just already cut up and everything for you. So you can just toss them into any meal. And I'm just realizing that the time has flown again as we keep talking about food and nutrition. I love talking about food and nutrition and how to eat in a healthy manner and help it be economical as well. So we'll continue with this, talking about the healthy tips. Again, feel free to go to the Academy and go to their website, eatright.org. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics is going to have a lot of good information on healthy eating. Again, my name is Karen Zangari, registered dietitian and diabetes educator, and I look forward to talking with you next Monday. Here's wishing you a healthy, happy week. Bye-bye.
You like potato?
And you like potato?
You like tomato?
And you like tomato?
Potato?
Potato?
Tomato?
Tomato?
Let's call a thing.
The best variety of music, OM 1240.
And now, as a public service, the Valley Breeze and ValleyBreeze.com present recent death notices from the local area. The Fournier and Fournier Funeral Home announces the passing of Norman R. LePage, 80 years old, formerly of Hillsdale Street in Woonsocket, who passed away on January 24th at Crystal Lake Rehabilitation and Care Center in Pascogue. He was the husband of the late Rachel LePage. Born in Woonsocket, Norman was a U.S. Army veteran and served during the Vietnam War. He was an auto body repairman for Siegel Motors for 20 years. He also worked for Woonsocket Awning for 20 years and was an associate at Walmart until retiring in 2021. Norman was a member of Circle Laurier. His funeral and visitation will be held tomorrow, Tuesday, February 4th at 9 a.m. from the Fournier and Fournier Funeral Home at 99 Cumberland Street in Woonsocket, with a massive Christian burial at 10 a.m. at St. Joseph's Church, Menden Road in Woonsocket. Burial with military honors will be held at Resurrection Cemetery in Cumberland for Norman R. LePage of Woonsocket. The Tucker Quinn Funeral Home announced the passing of Lillian Irene Rivett, who passed away on January 27th at the St. Antoine residence with her family by her side after suffering from Alzheimer's disease and falling at home. She was 83. Lillian was born in Pawtucket and graduated from the former St. Jean Baptist Academy. She is survived by her husband, Roland, and her three children, Stephen of Pawtucket, Judith Diamond of Woonsocket, and Brian of Woonsocket, her three grandchildren, and her two great-grandchildren.
She also